And we're looking at verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, we thank you that you spoke long ago, you spoke through Jesus, and you still speak even today. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord, that you would just help Andrew to share all that you've spoken to him this week on this passage. And we pray that you would help us to receive your word spoken through Andrew today, Lord. Help us to understand it. Help us to put it into practice. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Peter. When I decided to talk about generosity, I hadn't realised that today was the final day of the church's Generosity Week. I had no idea. And their quoted aim is that it takes place each year at about this harvest time, when we thank God for his generosity to us, with opportunity as to how we might respond to that generosity. Now you may ask, why did I choose the passage of the Good Samaritan? Well, it's one that you know well, so it's easy to remember. There's different stages of generosity which are revealed in the story. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem was 17 miles long, but it was well renowned for robberies and muggings. And we have this traveller going along, and he becomes another victim. Basically, he's bashed up, left half dead, half his clothes stripped off, and he's just lying, probably going to die if he's not somebody comes and gives a help. What happens? A priest comes along, sees the man, and walks on. A Levite comes along, sees the man, and walks by. Then we have a Samaritan. And for this, for the people at the time hearing this story, would have been a bit of a shock, because Samaritans were just not liked. They were looked down upon. But the Samaritan sees the man, as we heard, he had pity, and he did something about it. He stopped. He gets his hands dirty. He gets involved. He bandages the man up, pours oil and wine, and then he gives his time. He loads the man onto his donkey and takes him to the inn. And we hear that he actually cares for the guy overnight, really getting involved. In the morning, when he has to go on his business, and obviously the victim is not well enough to travel as well, he gives some money to the innkeeper to keep on looking after the guy, and with the promise that if it's not enough, he'll top it up when he comes back. So what was the impact? Well, one of the parties here was the innkeeper, and I suspect that he was quite impressed. Here was a chap helping a Jew. Not only that, he really went out of his way. And that innkeeper probably told his mates and his customers what had happened. And maybe their attitude towards the Samaritans changed, and also about helping others as well. Now, the guy who had been beaten up, I suspect he had eternal gratitude, a real debt of honour, of owing to the man who had saved him. Really impressed. And the likelihood is that if he'd seen anybody else in need of help or trouble, he'd be more likely to have gone out and helped. But what about the Samaritan? Well, I don't suppose it was the first or the last time he helped someone. Because the people that way, attitude, they make it a habit. They carry on doing it. We don't know how he was blessed, but I'm sure that when he went back to the inn next time, the innkeeper probably gave him a free drink and said to his people, anybody else in the inn, this is the guy who helped that man the other week. But what we do know is that he's now honoured now. And as used in us, we have the Samaritans, which are named all about it. But the story highlights several stages and aspects of generosity. The first one is seeing what's required. You need to see it. And the reality is, in life, not everybody sees things. There are some things are obvious and some are not obvious. The second thing, there was a response. And this is really the key part, in my view, because a response can be based on all sorts of things. It can be a token response. It can be a deep, passionate response. But where's the motivation coming from before it? It's getting involved. It was likely in this case there was a cost of time, also some cost of money. But there was a blessing on all those involved. Now, several aspects are present whenever there are generous acts, and even we can see it in the Bible. It just comes right through it. And it's the same with God. You know, although Genesis says that we are made in God's own image, we know that God saw that things were not working out right and something needed to be done. So God acts, and Jesus comes to earth. Jesus got involved. He got his hands dirty, laying it on the people who were not well, who were the sick, the blind, the woman who was bleeding. He worked tirelessly, travelling around, walking around. But there was a cost. He died on the cross for you and for me and for others, so that our sins could be given. But then there's a blessing. You know, our sins are forgiven. We have a new life, a relationship with God. In the words of Stephen Cotterill, our faith starts with the most generous gift of all, God's gift to us of life itself, and a new life and new hope in Jesus Christ. 10 days ago, a few of us were at the school doing the Open the Book, and we had one of the stories about Elijah when there was a famine, and he's sent out into the an area, and he's by a brook, and there are ravens feeding him. Then the brook dries up, and he's told by God to go and see a widow at Zarephath. And the lady there has already known he's coming, and he asks her for some bread. And she says, I've only got a little flour and a little oil. I will make some bread, but then my son and myself will die. Elijah responds. He said, your jars won't run out until the end of the famine. And a bit later, the son falls ill and dies, and Elijah raises him from the dead. And that woman's act, it might have been totally fatalistic because she thought, well, I'm going to die anyway. But her generosity brought untold blessings. She survived the famine. Her son was brought round. And I'm sure Elijah was blessed too, because his faith, what had been told by God to do, had actually worked. It made a difference. But the Bible is full of blessings for those who are generous. You know, from the Psalms, God will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. From Proverbs, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. A generous man will be blessed. From Ephesians, generosity is not solely about abundance, but about having a sincere heart. And from 2 Corinthians, you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity result in thanksgiving to God. People here have been generous in getting stuff to where they are for the Tower Appeal. People have donated money, given money in memory of others. They've helped on fundraising things. And we've had people admin and time. And there's still plenty of hard work to do. But we've been blessed beyond our imagination, quite honestly. Julie mentioned it in her prayers. I mean, we've had some increase in costs, but we've had the money to be relaxed about doing it. We're having things done which we'd never dreamt of, as being able to have energy efficient lights, which hadn't been part of the program at all. We are being blessed because we've been generous. You know, Open the Book team. Andy, our leader there, is just unbelievably wonderful. His head will go through the door. But, you know, seriously, I mean, he helps us with the scripts and props and everything else. But even for the lower morsels, we are blessed every time we go. It is a blessing. On Thursday afternoon, I was putting leaflets through Tim and Carol's door, and some school children came by, and they were waving to me like this, because they recognised me from the Open the Book. You know, it's a real uplift, and we know we're making... it's fun for them, and they enjoy it, and they're hearing the stories of God. And, you know, money has not been easy for us because we've lost people. We have easy for our general fund, which most of our money, we tithe what we get in. For people like Chitra, who are blessing people we don't even know, like CYO as well. And my own personal experience is that when I'm generous with my time and money, I have unexpected blessings. You know, I really do. I mean, this week I was sorting a problem out at the almshouses I'm involved with, and there's a lady well into her late 80s and have a problem in the house, and she was so pleased that I was getting it sorted out. And you just think, that's a reward and blessing for it to happen. So we're approaching a period of having no rector. Just walked in. So it's good to pause and remember Jesus' words. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now, I know that my faith and my trust in God is the cornerstone of my life. I know that this church has the key role in proclaiming and displaying to this community the hope that we all have in the hope in Jesus. And the aim of my talk this morning has been to just highlight where, for us, generosity kicks in. I know many of you are already incredibly generous. Now, not pick names out, but the gardening team out there have been wonderful. And they've just taken a couple of little tasks I was thinking about needing to do off me. So thank you, guys. And Peter was helping me this week, and a little issue as well. Little steps up here and there make all the difference. You know, when we work as a team, far more gets done. But we can all see that our church, as we're going through this period, we have needs, and we could do more. We need help. But some of those visions of what's going to be seen can be done will come from unexpected sources. You know, nobody expected the Samaritan to be the one that stepped up. But somebody here, I don't know who it will be, maybe not here today, will come forward with something great. And it's how we respond to these things, how we respond to what those needs are for us. You know, it may be just taking on one or two other bits and pieces that you normally do, perhaps using existing talents or finding and developing new talents. It's serving in one form or another. Yeah, there will be some cost in time, but that's how life is. And, you know, money always helps, to be honest with you. So it does demonstrate how much, as a church, we regard the importance of our faith. And, you know, and it allows us to reach out and bless others, whether it be in Nepal or whether it be somebody down end of Godman's Lane or wherever. It all helps. But I'm confident that our generosity will be blessed. I really am. You know, we're going to have an exciting time. It's going to be hard work, but it's going to be exciting. It won't be like a prosperity way, but our church, but with a church community that has a deeper love for God, that loves and supports each other more, and we bear witness in the community, whether it be at the community library, the Young at Heart, or whatever it is, and we're able to continue meeting our financial commitments. You know, do remember, we are called to be generous in all areas of our life. Fortunately, it is part of our natural human DNA. I mean, most of us, I'm sure, when you're growing up, help your mum or dad doing things around the house, and your children have probably helped you out doing things around the house. For most people, not everybody, it is part of our natural DNA, but it's also part of God's DNA that we have in us as well. And I quote, "Generosity is the fullest expression of the life of a steward, one that's been given a gift that must be used wisely and for a purpose, bringing glory to God. Amen."
In preparation, I was reminded of a verse in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, where Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And I know from my own experience that if we honour God, if we give to Him, He provides so much more back to us so we can do all that is asked of us. Just take a moment just to think, just to ask the Lord to show you what He wants you to be generous in the next while, next period. Is it time? Is it money? Is it sharing your home? Sharing something you possess? Sharing your experiences? I don't know. Just ask the Lord to begin to show you what He wants you to do at this time, knowing that He'll be more generous than you can ever be, really. Help us, Lord, to know Your will for us this time. Amen. Now, I'd just like to